Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
In the ultra-rich, ultra-luxury real estate market of New York City, one of the parlor games for the average citizen is to wonder about and occasionally learn who lives in what amazing apartment. The Dakota, Park Avenue, the Plaza. These are all the old names. Beautiful buildings, right? But in the past 15 years, there are new mega buildings with apartments built especially for billionaires. Mayor Michael Bloomberg took office just a few months after 9/11 and quickly rezoned the city to enable this top-end growth. Last year, more than $8 billion were spent on condos, costing $5 million or more in New York City, more than triple the amount of just a decade ago. Tony addresses on high floors with special elevators, promises of secrecy, doors nobody knocks on for trick-or-treating, doors with mystery billionaires behind them in many cases.
And we've been able to do something that none of these other cities can do, and that is attract a lot of the very wealthy from around the country and around the world. And they are the ones that pay a lot of the taxes. They're the ones that spend a lot of money in the stores and restaurants and create a big chunk of our economy. And we take the tax revenues from those people to help people throughout the entire rest of the spectrum. And, you know, it gives you this income inequality measure. But you want, if we could get every billionaire around the world to move here, it would be a godsend.
Billionaire Mayor Michael Bloomberg taking credit for a New York City trickle-down bonanza in real estate. But Louise Story, investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times, along with her colleagues, went on a quest to find the identity of some of these condo owners. And in many cases, it's a story of nefarious wealth being quietly parked high above the city that never sleeps. Louise Story, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
So nice to talk to you.
Great to be here.
So how hard was it to find out the identities of some of these condo owners in the Time Warner Center, which, of course, is the symbolic building of representing these new billionaire towers?
Well, you know, you think of secrecy and you think of the Cayman Islands or the British Virgin Islands, but New York City is awfully secretive. So in this complex of condos, there's just under 200 condos in the Time Warner Center. And over the course, it's been around a decade, and over the course of that span, there have been more than 200 shell companies that have owned there. And so we pierced behind them, but it took months and months and months because it's not just about using an LLC, which in itself, there's nothing wrong with using an LLC. It's about the other steps people take, you know, having lawyers sign for them and not listing phone numbers and having one shell go to another trust to another shell, you know, layer upon layer. We were literally pulling out records and calling around and reporting in over 20 countries to figure out who owned these condos.
And of course, LLC means limited liability corporation, right?
That's right.
Right, right.
So there's LLCs, there's trust, there's, you know, there's several different technical things that they use. But what they amount to in many cases is a corporate entity that doesn't have another purpose other than owning the condo. And people use them for a lot of reasons. They use them for investment strategies. They use them because there's multiple parties buying. And there's nothing wrong with using them. But the effect is it has taken what used to be a very, very, very transparent market, real estate, and made it not transparent anymore.
Would you say that there's evidence and some of the characters that you ran into are actually parking ill-gotten gains in New York real estate?
Well, we found all kinds of people behind the shell companies, in some cases, you know, CEOs of companies and doctors and lawyers. But we did also find, you know, people with more controversial backgrounds from all over. And we talk about a lot of them in our different stories. There's five parts. You know, we talk about a former Russian senator who for a while was banned from Canada because of a controversial deal in Angola where there were allegedly kickbacks paid. And we talk about a mining executive from India who right around the time he was purchasing in the Time Warner complex, he and his family had lost a case for moving money out of the country. And so once you figure out the names of the people behind these shell companies, then when you go research back in their home countries, what it is, you know, has been written about them, what's in the court system about them, if they've, you know, had any government inquiries, you do find a number have.
How does this story get beyond simply the voyeuristic interest in figuring out who are the super rich and become really a social consequence for the city of New York in terms of the real estate market and in terms of the financial situation, parking money illicitly?
Well, you played the clip of Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg, and when he was mayor, he did talk about recruiting wealthy people to move here in part for the trickle-down effect. One of the things people are raising questions about, though, is how big is that trickle really? There's some proposals out from, for instance, the Fiscal Policy Institute, where people are saying, but if these people aren't here most of the year, you know, they're not actually going shopping and they're not actually hiring people, you know, to work for them here. And the other thing is that a lot of these new developments where people are buying have multiple year tax breaks. So, for instance, you know, you probably read there's a condo that sold for over $100 million recently in New York, the first one here. And right now, their property taxes are $17,000 a year. That'll go up over time, but that is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the kind of proportion of taxes that ordinary New Yorkers who own a place pay.
If the 400 or so ultra condos were taxed like everyone else is taxed, how much money would it mean for the city before we go?
Oh, they could pull in hundreds of millions more dollars per year.
And it's like 443 apartments are worth $20 billion or something like that?
Yeah, it's a little more than that, are worth over $25 million each. Right, and it really adds up to a lot of tax revenue that the Fiscal Policy Institute says could be brought into the city.
Louise Story is investigative reporter for our partner, The New York Times. You can read all of the parts of The Towers of Secrecy. That's Louise's series on the influx of global cash into New York City's real estate market by going to www.nytimes.com/towers of secrecy. Thanks, Louise.
Thanks, John.
Support for The Takeaway comes from LegalZoom, for over 10 years providing solutions for business owners, families, and individuals to get legal help, including incorporation, LLCs, wills, and living trusts. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com and GiftedAndTalented.com, providing personalized online courses developed by Stanford University, designed to help K-12 students advance in mathematics, language arts, and beyond. More at GiftedAndTalented.com.